Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for, I hope you had a great 4th of July. And again, we're celebrating the 12 score plus 10 years more, the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. Got a feedback from somebody that didn't like doing math. Okay. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Steve Tyson.
Pat Park.
Charlie Loferno.
Julie Loferno.
And again, as you heard, we have a representative, Steve Tyson, with us, and we recently, thank you, we recently passed a state budget, and we're going to get a little bit of understanding about what's in there. And again, Steve, thank you for coming out.
Absolutely, my pleasure. And let me start off by apologizing to the people of North Carolina that our governor did not think it was important enough to send representatives to Washington, D.C. to participate in this incredible historic 250th celebration of the United States. And that was had nothing to do with the legislature, I will tell you that. Had he come to us and said, oh, we just don't have the money, we would have gotten the money. And not only that, but it's my understanding that he tried to use that as an excuse, and that there were several organizations that had, outside of the legislature, that had volunteered to give the money to the state to have that participation. So the reality is that many in his, constituents that support him did not want us to be represented there because of their vitriol hatred for Donald Trump, probably.
We did have a private corporation that stepped up, am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think we did have some type of display or something there, but not like the other states that fully participated, yeah.
Where do we want to go?
Talk to us about the legislature.
Well, we are adjourned until probably the 28th, I think, of July. We've got to go back and one of the things we'll be doing is technical corrections to this large budget that you see right here. There'll be all kinds of things that we'll need to change, small things, not policy changes or anything else, misspellings, punctuation mostly, just small errors that may have been made during the course of putting together that budget. So, and we're probably we'll be doing a limited amount of legislation between now and the end of the year as well. I don't see there being a lot of legislation being passed.
Oh, we get into that campaign season. That's
right. Yeah. I mean, you have to do that if you want to get reelected.
So one of the things that we, of course, noticed here on coastal North Carolina was that the budget does not include anything to keep the ferry systems free. So again, just that's a line item that we don't necessarily like. So,
well, it's not a popular thing certainly in the areas that are impacted for it. A little bit of, Carter, Craven County, the Minnesota ferry in Pamlico County. And I think there were two others. I think statewide, three of the, 11 ferry systems were toll free, and this changes that and puts a toll on the three that currently do not have it.
Yeah, Aurora Bath.
Yeah. And so I was opposed to that, obviously. The coastal members, I think, were opposed, but the way it was done, it was put in the conference report for the budget, and so it was an up or down vote. You could vote against the budget, which I think Norm Sanderson and Bobby Hanick did on the Senate side. We didn't do that on the House side. Celeste, myself, decided that there was plenty of good stuff in this budget to vote for, which I think we'll have time to talk about. But there was no amendments that could be made. In a non-conference report budget, you do have the ability to put in amendments to try to take things out of, but here it's an up and down vote.
But again, yeah, as you are just now explaining, that is the procedures that are used in getting legislation through. There's various ways, and this one said You cannot make amendments.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
If you want me to kind of give a few highlights in the budget, and then I'll kind of stand.
That would be great.
Yeah, and I'll start on, we're like a business in some ways, in that we have revenue and we have expenses. And so at the end of the day, our Constitution requires those two to balance out. And so I'll start with the what we call the finance provision, and that's the revenue side. And there's some changes here that are going to be happening in this fiscal year and in upcoming fiscal year. But in this fiscal year, the state income tax rate is reduced to 3.49. Again, it was in 2010, it was almost 8%, I think, for personal income.
Yeah, what was it this year?
3.99 in this past fiscal year. And so we go, our fiscal year is July 1st through.
So we're coming down a little bit at a time.
Yep, coming down a little bit at a time. And that was the plan the entire, you know, time. When Republicans took over control of the legislature, North Carolina was in a bad financial situation.
On that note, a few years ago, we passed, what was it, a constitutional amendment so that the tax couldn't come back up to where it used to be?
We actually did that this year. Well, we passed a constitutional amendment to where I think it's 3.49% would be the max that we can.
The max, yeah.
Yeah. And that will be on the ballot. Okay, it was a resolution to put on the ballot.
On the ballot,
and so if that passes, then we won't be able to raise taxes beyond that unless it's, you know, another constitutional amendment. And constitutional amendments are more difficult than just passing legislation typically.
Is that state income tax for residents? And what's the difference for businesses?
For businesses, I think it went down again, and I'm not seeing this on my list here of highlights, but it did go down again to like 2.5% or something like. Don't hold me to that.
Okay.
I'll have to look it up in one of these.
That's a lot of looking. Yeah. That's a big budget there. So that's going to make North Carolina even more attractive to businesses that want to move out of blue states.
Yeah, we are in the Southeast now, probably the most competitive of any of the states when you look at the global tax structure. Tennessee doesn't have a state income tax. But if you look at all their other taxes, their revenue for sales taxes, you know, if you include fees, property tax, all the other things, we're actually less than they are. So this, if we stay on the rate right now, rate reductions in 2030 is supposed to come down to 3.24, and then in 2033, 2.99.
Wow.
Yeah. And we can go down more depending on this document will allow us to go down more if we hit certain revenue thresholds.
Is there anything in the budget about property taxes?
Not, I don't believe, in the budget, but we do have several bills that are pending that are going to deal with property taxes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There was a bill passed. I don't know if that's one of the four that the governor signed. I got a feeling that he would veto that. But that would stop revaluations in all of the counties this year, except I think there was one or two that were carved out of that for various reasons, small rural farm counties.
I guess I'm a little surprised that the state would have that kind of control over localities.
Yes. As a former county commissioner, you know, I'm kind of a little bit ambivalent about that. And I have to say that Craven County and Carteret County and probably Pamlico County, I don't look into their stuff as much, their property tax rates are very reasonable, in my humble opinion.
Yes.
As a county commissioner, I thought that the county when I was on and since then have done a pretty good job of trying to keep the property taxes very reasonable. Now, there have been some bills passed, or excuse me, introduced. They haven't passed yet. They haven't gotten out of committee that would limit what counties are able to increase their revenue. In other words, the state tries to maintain, I'm trying to remember, is it CABO, where the rate of inflation and the population growth, that's what we try to keep our tax rate set to. So not to go higher than that, okay, not to have excess revenue. In other words, if you've got more people and you've got inflation, then, you know, you're going to have more money to operate a government, right, unless you just start cutting. And that's always an option, I would say. Mm-hmm. And the state has had to do that before in 2011 and 12. And so,
how's our rainy day fund?
I've got that in here. It goes up to like $4.5 billion. We're putting like half a billion, replenishing that with. We've got ample money to take care of bad situations like we had up in the mountains right, a year and a half ago.
And it's not too many years ago that we owed the federal government an awful lot of money and paying interest on that. And now we've worked that off, and we're in a positive situation.
Has Hurricane Helene been paid for? I mean, has Western North Carolina been kind of put back together?
I don't know that it's been put back together. My initial thought when it happened and having gone up there, it was going to take 5 to 10 years, probably closer to 10. So it made good progress. But, you know, the people are being, and I believe, taken care of pretty well. I'm very disappointed in Stein's rebuild program. I would say it's a little bit better than the one that Cooper had, but not an awful lot better. And Dudley Green, who's a representative from the epicenter of the storm, he sits right behind me, and we talk a lot. He said that the Samaritan's Purse, Baptist Men on Mission, and those type organizations are doing great work, but the program that the state's supposed to do, where they hire these big contractors to come in there and do the work, is they really haven't done anything yet. Or what they have done has been very minimal. I won't say they haven't done anything.
Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Thank you, Steve. You want to continue, please?
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about the budget on the expense side now. You know, you heard about the revenue side. On the expense side, I'm going to start with the capital budget, and by that I mean things that are being built or repaired that the state owns. And so I don't know when it started. Before I got up to the legislature decided that they were going to have a state capital and infrastructure fund, and that was going to be funded, you know, outside of the rest of the spending, okay, because a lot of the state's infrastructure was in bad shape, and we had a fair amount of debt that had been borrowed in the years before the conservatives took control of the legislature. And so in this budget, we're going to pay down more of the state debt service. We're going to pay that down to $346 million, and that reduces it down to, I will say, almost nothing. Ooh. Comparatively almost nothing, probably to about $600 million is all the state owes, okay, because we've been paying as we go.
I think one of the things, and I'm not sure whether Dave Bullock was the one that showed this up or who was our prior treasurer, that the Department of Transportation mm-hmm. used to never consider a bill until it became past due. Mm-hmm. They did not budget in advance for the recurring costs that they had already signed on. Until the bill was presented to them, they never considered it money due. So that's I think, what we're paying off.
You wouldn't run your household that way.
That's right. And so I did check a week or two ago, I saw an interesting chart that showed North Carolina ranked number 7 in terms of least debt per capita for our citizens. I mean, we were number 7, and there's, I think some of the other ones may have been Texas, Florida, or something like that. But number 7 is pretty good, but we're looking to get it down to near about nothing. Included in, they call it the SCIF fund, the State Capital Investment Fund, we're going to be spending $86 million in broadband, continuing our broadband extension, state agency repair and renovation, just the state buildings, you know, all the renovations and upkeep that takes. The UNC system, our 16 universities, $200 million in renovations and repairs, state agency capital projects. These would be new buildings for the state government, $517 million. UNC system, $654 million. And that's pretty much me. You total all that up, and it's almost $2 billion. It's $1.9 billion. So we basically are almost paying as we go in the budget and not doing bonds and having to borrow money and everything. So we talked a little bit ago about the transportation budget. The actual budget goes up by $338 million, a 6% increase, which is a fair amount. And the budget, total budget's $5.9 billion. Now, transportation funds is really outside of the general fund. It basically pays for itself, used to pay for itself, with your tag renewals, when you go each year, you had to pay fees, to renew your automobile license and and also your gas tax, and there's some other things. But now the state is putting in, having to put in money outside of what was just the funding for that, which is your gas tax and your fees associated with DMV and all.
Who pays for the work on 70? Is that a federal project or is that a state project?
It's a state project. There may be some federal funds involved in there, but it's almost exclusively a state fund.
And that's becoming an interstate, which is a federal highway, am I correct?
Yeah, but you know, your states pay for almost all of your roadways. The federal government kicks in some. I think they probably, out of that $5.9 billion, there may be a half a billion or so that comes in from the federal government. All states get, you know, some money.
I think along with that, Steve, I think I was sort of amazed when I found out that we either have city roads, private roads, or state roads. There are no real county roads as such.
There's no county roads in North Carolina. The state helps the city some. It's not an awful lot. I'm going to throw out a number because I don't know the number, but I'm going to guess that the city of Newbern may get a couple of $100,000 from the state government to help them take care of their roads, and all the municipalities get some money for that. But we have 81,000 miles of state-maintained roads.
Okay.
That's not including the roads in the cities. And that is more than any other state except Texas. And so transportation, as we keep growing, last year we were the fastest-growing state in the nation. We've been in the top two or three over the last decade, probably. But as we continue growing, we're having to really scratch our heads on how to keep the roads up. Because if you ever stop get behind the curve on road maintenance, it's hard to catch up.
Mm-hmm. Now, the project on 70 mm-hmm. has been going on for, what, about 3 or 4 years now?
Mm-hmm.
When do you think they will open at one of the bridges?
Well, I don't know about individual bridges. The last time I talked to the division engineer, and this has been 3 or 4 months ago, she said it was 2 years out. So I figure if you double that, it's probably going to be closer, to be honest with you. And doing big highway projects is a challenge. I mean, to start with, you got to buy all the right-of-way. That was $75 million right there, just buying right-of-way from businesses, mm-hmm. people that own property. And then you had to move an unbelievable amount of utilities that were in the right-of-way, the existing right-of-way, had to be moved out. You can't pave over water and sewer and right. cable and telephone and any other type of utilities that might be in there, so they had to move all that stuff out.
Plus drainage, you got to.
Yeah, then you're having to reconfigure much of the drainage system. It's a big project, but if they can do it in 2 years, like I was told, I would be flabbergasted. But if they can get a few of these bridges open, I know you guys will really be happy out here in Carolina color.
Yes.
Well, first of all, I've been actually really impressed with the way in which they've done it. I just, the fact that the traffic still flows relatively well.
Mm-hmm.
The crazy side roads that you go around like snakes, I don't like those much. But I guess there are some of us out there wondering the incredible expense of this.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really worth... What's the goal? I mean, I know the goal is to make it faster, but in the end, is it really worth the expense of doing it?
I think it will be. I think for economic development, it's going to be an incredible. I think you're going to see businesses, strip centers, medical centers, accountants, all businesses from James City all the way down to Havelock, really. I think you're going to be seeing stuff.
And the other okay. part of this is it increases the value of the Port of Morehead.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we saw when we lived in Massachusetts, when Route 495 went through, we lived in a little town that was like 5,500 people. When Route 495 went through, our little town became commuting distance to Boston, Providence, and Worcester. And all of a sudden, we had 8,000 people living in the town. So it impacts unbelievably.
Yeah.
Well, those of us that came from metropolitan areas, like we did, Tidewater, with millions of people, we watched how our small towns became metropolitan areas and the crime that comes with it.
Yes.
So those of us that are now in these wonderful smaller areas, like I consider New Bern, we're not all that excited about a lot of extra population coming.
Well, it's, it's a double-edged sword, that's for sure.
Yes, it is.
But you got to have growth. If you're not going forward, you're going backwards.
Yeah.
And we're fortunate here. We are growing, but we're not growing like Johnson County and Brunswick County. They're growing 8% population a year, 6 to 8%, Wake County even, not to mention Mecklenburg County. So we're probably growing, I'd say, 1.5 to 2% per year, our population. We'll see that kind of growth. And that's healthy. I think it's healthy, but it's not to such an extent that you outrun your infrastructure and you start having problems associated with that.
And don't outrun your industry.
Well, you need to keep some growth going to maintain a level of political power within the state political system, right?
That's right.
Steve, do you feel like that the money that we're spending on maintaining things in the state is enough?
I do.
Okay.
I think we're in pretty good shape, and that's one of the things I mentioned, that state capital investment fund. Mm-hmm. We pay for it each year, and we pay for it out of the current money. We're not getting behind. We're actually in really good shape.
It's kind of exciting to look at something new coming in,
mm-hmm.
a new road or new federal buildings or state buildings. It's just exciting. But to maintain something doesn't have that same level of excitement, but it's very important.
Yes, no doubt. Once you start getting behind on your maintenance, it's just like a house. It's right. Hard to catch up on.
That's right. You have to spend even a higher percentage.
Yep. So transportation, we just touched briefly on that. It's a big part of the state budget. And there were some little things in there that we did. We're doing eliminating having to have driver's registration cards in your car and stickers on your car, because now we've invested a lot of money in computers, technology, mm-hmm. and all that. So when a policeman looks at your license plate, he knows if the car is registered and up to date and if you've had a stake. So they, believe it or not, it saves millions of dollars not having to mail all that stuff out. Just a little things like that can make a difference.
Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with us. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam full of firearms, new guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, East 70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than East 70 Pond. Of course, East 70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. East 70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Steve, you've got more on the budget, and appreciate you being here.
Absolutely. And somebody mentioned Helene Recovery, so I figured I would just talk about a few of the highlights that we're doing to support that. Of course, a lot of that, the majority of that should be and is the federal government, but the state is kicking in quite a bit of money. I think we will have spent over $2 billion after this fiscal year on recovery. $450 million to cover state and local share of costs for federal government, because the federal government says, we'll give you $2 billion, but you got to pick up 10%. And so that's $200 million right there. But in this case, it's a lot more than that, because I think it's $4 billion that they're looking to give us. We're $65 million in this budget for FEMA-ineligible local government disaster projects for, volunteer fire departments and all that. We're kicking in and trying to help them because they don't have the money. $43 million in this budget will go to nonprofit organizations for housing and private road bridge recovery. That's like Samaritan Purse and all that. So if you give Samaritan's Purse or Baptist on Mission or any of the other nonprofit rebuild companies, you gave one of them $1 million, you'll get $20 million or $50 million in value, because their labor is pretty much exclusively free.
Wow.
And even some of their materials that they supply. We're giving money to Commerce to try to help with the recovery, help the individual needs for certain counties up there. And so I think that the recovery is, as I mentioned before, it's a 5 to 10 year recovery. I think the process now, has it been 3 years coming up?
I think you're right. Yeah.
And at this point, they're about where I would have expected them to be.
Well, you can't come up with that much labor and that much replacement material in no time.
Well, I heard that that Trump went after FEMA when they heard that some FEMA workers were told to skip houses that had Trump signs.
Yeah, and that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually true. So
So when he came in, he looked at the Helene damage and put his boot in FEMA's beep, and that they have stepped up. And so have you seen any indication that they've increased the resources they've contributed?
I'm not sure of that. I think that they've got the resources that they need. If you gave $20 billion to the governor for recovery, what's he going to do with it? If you gave it all at one time, they can only process so much at a time.
Well, I think
the money has been there.
Going back with Cooper, I don't know, how long did he hang on to Matthew money?
Yeah. I don't even want to talk about how inefficient that the Cooper administration was in many different ways, especially, though, with hurricane recovery. Mm-hmm. Incompetent may be a better word than anything else, to tell you the truth.
We're nonpartisan, but I 100% agree with you.
I mean, it doesn't matter to me. If it had been a Republican governor, I'd be berating them because I saw it firsthand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And well, so much waste.
The sad part of that is that North Carolina is a state that is familiar with hurricanes, and we need to have a government that reacts well and reacts quickly, and we have not.
No, and that, again, I get back to Governor Stein. I was disappointed because he had, you know, he was Attorney General when we had Matthew and then Florence, and so he should have had some working knowledge of how this should work. And it's you know, I don't think he's been doing a good job with the state government's part of the rebuild. And by that, I mean where the state government hires contractors to go out there and rebuild houses.
The executive branch is supposed to execute.
Yes. That's right.
And as we all know, knowledge is a lot different from desire.
That's right. So let's talk a little bit about salaries, because we did a lot for teachers and state employees, and I know there'll be some that still won't be happy.
Yeah.
But
how about state retirees?
Well, we'll talk about that too. But
I'm
there
a state retiree. I'd like to know.
Well, there was a 3% across the board increase for most state agency employees, and that's universities and even non-teacher state funding local employees. A pretty big kick bump, I would say, for law enforcement, including highway patrol, SBI, prison workers. About a 13% increase for those.
Wow.
State patrol, people that work
bump.
In prisons.
Yeah.
And SBI and all that, we weren't really competitive with our SBI and state trooper either.
Prisons have been so short-handed for a long time. Yeah,
yeah. So they're all getting about a 13% increase. Mm-hmm. Teachers, if you took every teacher, the increase is going to be about 8%. Some got more than others. And the starting teacher pay now is $48,000 for North Carolina, and I think that may put us at the highest in the Southeast. I think. I'm not 100% sure of that. So retirees got a 2.5% one-time supplement bonus. Got a little something.
Hey, something
not as much
than
as
nothing.
Some. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, so let's see. I've already talked about the SCIF fund. Talked about some finance stuff. Talked about law enforcement teachers. Let's see what we got.
One of the ones that I know was talked about, well, two things that were talked about in advance. One, thank you that there was nothing to do with gambling in the final budget. I appreciate that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Densely.
Yes.
And the other thing I was going to ask about is, I know that Medicaid was a big, a medicine ball that kept getting thrown back and forth between everybody?
Yeah. Well, we passed a Medicaid rebase bill, when was that, early June or sometime maybe in May? I can't remember. But that gave the governor all the money he wanted. And you may have heard about, you know, he stopped payment to certain providers because he said we didn't have the money. He always had the money.
Oh.
We just didn't give it to him at one time. And we told him this. We're going to give it to you as you need it. We don't like to give money out because we're making interest on that money.
Mm-hmm.
The money in this budget will be making interest on it until it's spent. State treasurer will oversee that. I would say that Medicaid is going to be a problem for many, many years to go. But in that bill that we passed that released the last $350 million that he wanted was some, anti-theft. I mean, just making people that are receiving Medicaid verify that they're eligible to do it.
Thank goodness.
Because
there
just
was a lot of teeth in these eligibility requirements.
They just found a fairly large Medicaid fraud thing in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Medicare, Medicaid. I don't remember where it was, but it was millions of dollars.
Well, it seems like it's been rampant nationwide, and not just, you know, Medicaid, of course. A lot of these SNAP programs, the all of the hospice care and all this stuff, I think you remember hearing that there were two-thirds of the hospice centers were located in Los Angeles County.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they had 100% survival rate.
Yeah. The daycares, you know, that are getting reimbursed. Yeah. Daycares that are getting reimbursed by the state and or federal, you know, funds.
And what was it? Michigan or Wisconsin had the Luring centers?
Luring centers.
One Luring center.
So I think that the Trump administration under J.D. Vance is very serious about trying to, you know, reduce fraud. Obviously, our state auditor is
aggressive.
He really is. He's doing a great job. And our state treasurer as well, because our state treasurer manages about over $200 billion worth of state funding. And he's doing a good job in trying to tweak out an extra 0.5% of return on that money. And 0.5% of $200 billion is a lot of money.
Now, we personally griped at him because our tax return took forever to get back this year. So, but that's a whole different story. So.
Eventually it showed up.
It did show up.
Now, did we go over the fact that as of January 1st, people in North Carolina will be paying a toll to ride the ferry?
Well, you know, I think there's 11 ferries. North Carolina has the second most of any state. Washington State has the most. We're number two. Our ferry fleet is really old. I'm telling you, we've got some 60 years plus old. And older something gets, the more it takes to maintain. Just like us. Our medical bills are a lot more than we were 20 years old. But, you know, we've got to spend a lot. And also in this budget, in the transportation budget, we spent, I think, $50 million trying to improve the ferry repair shipyard that we have. But we can't keep up with it. Even when we do these repairs, we're having to send some of our ferries to Virginia to get repaired because we really don't have the capability of repairing them all. And like a propeller, we had in this budget, I think we had to get four new propellers. They're like $700,000 a piece. So ferry maintenance is very expensive. Out of the 11 ferries, I think this is correct, that we had, all of them but three are already paying tolls. The three that weren't, I think we named two of them. There's also one, I think, down in Brunswick County that doesn't have them. So there were three that didn't pay anything. I will say the Senate said they need to pay something. Everybody needs to pay if anybody's paying. So that was stuck in the budget provision, yeah.
And any time a ferry is out of service, some other ferry needs to make up for the shortcoming.
Yeah.
So it's double duty.
So I know we don't have much time before we have to go to the next break, but it wasn't something that if it had been a standalone bill, I don't think it would have passed. But being in the budget, it was up or down.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do?
Why did it take the budget so long to pass?
We might need to wait till the next segment.
Okay,
that's
the teaser. Okay, folks, we'll be back. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call. Thank you for listening.
C-
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
I've invited Steve Reed to join us for a quick update. He's got an event coming up. Steve?
Yes, in Moorhead City at the Civic Center on July 18th, Saturday, from 1 to 7, we'll be having the Patriot Mega Summit. And what that is basically we're going to have about 20 to 25 different speakers. We're going to have comedian. We're going to have music. We're going to have vendors. There's going to be a lot of knowledge being shared, and have tables that you can go and actually get to talk to them one-on-one. So some of the political people, you'll be able to get some one-on-one time with them. I think it's a way to meet some of the people that are involved. If anybody can come, let's say, because they can't afford it, is call me at 908-692-2907. Again, that's 908-692-2907. And let me know they want tickets. I will mail them tickets for free. And it's about giving back to the community.
Excellent. Excellent. Steve, I want to thank you for your time, and I wish you the very best at this event. Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. We're going back to the teaser question. Why did it take so long to pass the budget?
Well, I think because there was a pretty big difference between the House and the Senate on certain priorities. And Senator Berger, bless his heart, has done great things over the years for the conservatives.
Overall, yes.
For the state, not just conservatives. But in this last session, I think that he had a couple of things that were top priority to him. One of them, which was, you know, handed to us at the last minute, which was a $600 million baseball stadium that he wanted to state taxpayers, including people like us in eastern North Carolina, that would never visit that stadium to pay for. And so there was some, you know, haggling over that. One of his priorities near and dear to him was to build a children's hospital in North Carolina. Well, our health chairman in the House Health Committee, which we've got two practicing physicians, and we've got one retired CEO of a large hospital system up in Winston-Salem, said that we didn't need that children's hospital, which, you know, I think he wanted originally $1 billion from state taxpayer money to, and that number came down significantly over time. And in this budget, there is $250 million, but I don't think there'll be any more money from the state.
And I think they're rehabbing something that they have already, I believe.
Maybe so, but, you know, the argument of the speaker and most of the House members was that we didn't need it, but he insisted on it, and wasn't going to budge on it. NC Innovation was another, you know, of his big... That was a Phil Berger, I would say, priority, which is, I don't know if I've got time to get into all the details of that, but that was another $1 billion that he wanted set aside. And so he wanted to reduce taxes faster than what we actually ended up with in this budget. The House's concern, Speaker's concern, was that if we were to reduce the taxes beyond what we did to 3.49, I mean, I think he wanted to see it go down to under 3, like next year or next session. And we were concerned that we would just run out of money.
We wouldn't have the revenue.
Yeah, if we did that. And so, And the governor was sitting on the sidelines eating popcorn and watching that show go on. At the end of the day, I personally apologize to the citizens that it took us that long, but I do think that we ended up with a really good budget. Not everything in this 2,000 pages or whatever it is.
About 3 inches.
I agree
3 inches
with
of paper, yeah.
That's but there's a lot inches. Of there's a lot of good things in there that you know that you'll probably never hear about. Certain things like taking appointments from the governor and putting them in for the state treasurer and maybe the state auditor and the state legislature. You know, by doing that, we're able to put some conservatives on some of these very powerful government committees, like the UNC Board of Governors and
elections also. Yeah,
I didn't mention this, but in education, we put I think it's over $60 million in a new program for community colleges. It's called what is it called now? But it is going to take a look at the community colleges and see if we can even increase the programs for what we know are going to be future needed.
The vo-tech.
Yeah, blue-collar type workers. So like an electrician that works at a data center in Texas will make over $250,000 a year. And so we're going to look at all our programs and say, yes, we need to train more electricians. We need more surveyors. We need more plumbers, so we're going to be looking at not just those trades, but other trades that are going to come down in the future technology.
It look like we have a grandson that's a engine mechanic in high end
trucking
industry.
Diesel.
Is that based on his age, he's in a void because all of the other mechanics are seniors. Mm-hmm. Nobody really wanted to go into there. He's writing his own ticket and going anywhere that he can go anywhere, and I know get an increase. Yeah.
And so, do we need certain programs in community colleges the money might be better spent towards training our future workforce?
Well, when I got out of law school in 1988, the average income for a lawyer nationwide was $35,000. Mm-hmm. So everybody thinks, well, we don't want to be a blue-collar person because we can't make any money. You've got to be hoity-toity.
Not necessarily.
It's supply and demand, baby.
And it really is. And what has happened, and it really accelerated since COVID, is that plumbers, electrical, heat and air, those type workers, they're really doing well. They're making good money.
I have a question about the community college system in general. What is the health of the whole system? Because I remember during COVID that it almost shut down. There was nobody going. Everything was long distance. Everything was online. And so many courses now are online. So I wonder, are they still getting the numbers of students at the college actually attending in person? Or is it kind of going more the digital route?
I think so. I mean, there's always going to be the digital. I mean, that's here to stay. That's not going away. But certain things you can't do digital. And another thing that we put into education was trying to expand the teaching of people in healthcare at the university system and the community college system.
And I think along with that, when you teach somebody in healthcare like that, make sure that you can keep them within the community also and that they don't go. They don't leave the state.
So I guess 4 or 5 years ago, we knew we needed more nurses at the hospital, and not just at the hospital, but in the practice physician groups and all. So we expanded the community college. Mm-hmm. I think they were putting out maybe 20 a year. Now they're putting out probably 40 a year, RNs. And
you can get an RN degree here now. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, sure.
That's
can.
Tremendous.
From a community college?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You can get a two-year RN degree. You know, some people, if they go to a university, you can get a RN with a bachelor's, but, you know, in this case, it's an associate degree, but it's an RN, and they start off making good money.
Yeah, they
do. And you look at how many doctors have the physician's assistant now, mm-hmm. that's helping to relieve the load that they have.
Yeah, help, you know, putting out enough doctors has been a challenge. East Carolina's done a pretty good job over the years of stepping up, thanks with help from the state, of course. That's a public university. At least one private university has started a medical, you know, program to train physicians. I think it's Meredith College, relatively small university now, and I think they are. And the state is looking at opening another program, either in the east or the west. If it's in the east, it would be at Wilmington University, North Carolina. Wilmington. If it's in the west, I think it may be at, I think it's Western Carolina, or maybe Appalachian State, one of the two. I don't know which, but we understand there's a shortage of health care providers, and we're trying to take some steps to.
We have a granddaughter at App State who's working and wants to become a dentist, and mm-hmm. I think she's looking to stay within the state at least.
Yes. Good.
What do you see as the biggest challenge facing North Carolina right now?
Well, with growth comes challenges, and I mentioned that last year we were the fastest growing state. 88,000 people moved to North Carolina from other parts of the country. Believe it or not, Florida had 65,000. So people are, I think they're starting to see that Florida's crowded. It's gotten very expensive down there, and it's hot all year long nearby. So,
yeah, I used to live there.
In Texas, I think they were like 60 or 68 or 9,000 behind us, whatever that number was. But I say it with health care, with housing, it's causing challenges, and also with infrastructure such as water, sewer, and roadways, certainly. So those are some of the challenges, and we're aware of them, and we'll be dealing with them as we go through.
You know, one of the other things that I noticed within the budget was apparently there's a good chunk of change going to Lenoir County because of the Transmobile Park. Again, mm-hmm. that's going to be the home of repairing an awful lot of military aircraft.
And yeah, no doubt about it. That was, a good for them because they needed the space on Cherry Point Marine Air Station for other airplanes, F-35s. And so moving them to Kinston was a good move. That was kind of a win-win. And so the state actually had to guarantee a loan for a private company, I think, to go in there and build these massive hangars to work on the C-130s, I think. But the state is actually making money on that loan. They actually loaned the money. They didn't guarantee it. They loaned it.
Yeah, and again, it's within commuting distance for anybody in here that needs to commute to work on those aircraft. So, and we know military aircraft.
Yep, that's been a wonderful asset to East North Carolina's Cherry Point Marine Air Station, as well as Camp Lejeune.
Is the military our biggest industry, so to speak?
Yes.
Well, farming.
Well, yeah, actually, in the state, is farming is number one. Agriculture is number one. Number two would be military. Mm-hmm. And so.
The military is always a revenue generator.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the senators used to compete to get a new military installation into the district.
And military retirees also is quite an industry.
And I don't know if you remember, but a few years ago, we said that the military retirees don't have to pay state income taxes. So a lot of them are hanging around now.
Hallelujah.
Okay. folks, you know what? On that, we're going to have to say thanks for listening, and we wish that you have a great day. And this is CCTA Wake Up Call. And thank you, Representative Tyson, for coming.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.